Blog Talk Radio.
Joseph sent you.
We're live, Pastor. Good evening, everybody. It's Pastor KD Tony there. This is Pastor Kenny Powers in here tonight. Glad to have you in with us. If you're listening to us live or if you're going to listen to our recording, we're waiting on Brother Joseph King to get in here. In the meantime, praise God. Glad to have you with us. All right.
Hey,
there he is. The man of the hour right there, Brother Joseph King. Going to give us the word tonight. Brother Joseph, I'll go ahead and open us up with prayer, and then Joseph, you can you and Pastor can get in there. All right, thank you, Lord, for tonight, for your word. And Lord, we're just so thankful each and every day that your gospel is being preached around the world, wherever this message will be heard. And Lord, ever mindful of your love toward us and your love toward all of mankind, Lord, that your word will get, you know, taught worldwide, and may we stand firm on your word and continue to stand strong. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, Joseph, it's good to have you in here. But before we get you started teaching, I've got a little song for us tonight that I want to go out over the air with. So we're going to play it. Then, Joseph, we're going to bring you back in here and turn you loose.
Amen.
We are going down the valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death and silence onward flows. We are going down the valley.
We are
going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going down the valley.
Oh, we're
going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. When the labors of the weary day are done, one by one the cares of life forever pass, we shall stand upon the river's brink at last. We are going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going down the valley.
Oh, we're
going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going down the valley.
Oh, we're
going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one, and my brother, you and I must go alone. But a tender hand will guide us lest we fall. Christ is going down the valley with us all. We are going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going toward setting of the sun. We are going down the valley.
Yes, we're
going down the valley.
Oh, we're
going down the valley one by one.
Amen. All right, Joseph, we're going to turn you loose.
Amen. That was a refreshing to my spirit in Jesus' name. Father God, I just ask you to use me in a way that I've never thought or imagined you to use me. I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you will just have your way and let your will be done. Use me, not me use you. Let your word come forth, Father God, and for those, Father God, who need to hear a word from you, Father God, and including myself. For, Father God, we're not perfect, but your perfect will be done. And I pray for peace, love, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening we're going to be reading from Matthew 7. So I'll just give you a moment to get to Matthew 7, and then I'll proceed. Okay. Starting from verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye might judge, it shall be judged, it should be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in my brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? When we are looking at this scripture, these three, from 1 to 3, judge not that ye be not judged. You know, and I truly believe when the Lord is supposed to judge us and our sins and our trespasses towards Him, but we're also to judge ourselves, but not judge as the world would judge us. You know, we go to our, you know, the court system. We're judged. We're judged for our acts, but in the law of Christ, God wants us to judge ourselves to recognize of what fault we may have, that we may have caused against the Holy One. You know, because when we are doing our own thing, we are not walking in the will of God. We, you know, our thoughts might not be clear, and you know, I think we all have bad days. But when we confess it unto the Lord, we're asking Him to forgive us, to have a cleansing, so that we don't carry burdens of our own sins and our own wrongdoings toward the Lord, because it will one time or another weigh you down. But also, when we looking at our brothers and sisters and their wrongdoings, you know, we have to have a mind of Christ when we're walking with Christ. You know, we can be doing His will, but when we're doing our will, we're going to act like the world. And now I'm going to read from, going on to verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in their own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And that's what I was just kind of speaking of. And the word already, you know, is established. Everything that we do in our lives, there's a reason, there's an answer, and there's a solution to everything that we have questions about. And the law, the Lord is saying to us, we can't be hypocrites. We can't be doing something and knowing that we're doing something and trying to correct somebody else. First, we have to stop doing our own sin and acting in a way that we know that we're not doing as they are. But I think I would say if we're doing something and we want to correct our brother, let us go to our brother and our sister and say, you know, I have this same issue. You know, I drink with you. I drink like you. I, you know, I I tell white lies, but let us work on it together. You know, let us correct one another in a positive way, not in a way that I don't do that or I'm so better than you. Because what we're doing is we're being hypocrites, and that's what the Lord doesn't want us to be. He wants us to have a not only a sound mind, but to be Christ-like, to do as the Lord says in His Word. And then it reads from verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest thou tremble them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We are, you know, as humans, you know, before we became Christ-like, before we became saved or even within a church, we would ask our parents or our guardians or whoever it was what we desired. We asked them in a way, most of the time we asked them in beating around a corner or beating around a bush or saying it in a way that is misleading or manipulating, or sometimes we have conversations where people that we want something as in blackmailing. But God said in His Word, He said, come to Him. You know, when we come to Him, we're asking. It's only His will. It's got to be in His will. It can't be, you know, Lord, I can't stand my neighbor. I can't stand this job. You know, things like that. But ask of the Lord of the hearts of your desire, and it shall be given unto you. He said, "Ask of and you shall receive." In Jesus' name. And that's on verse 9. "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" That kind of, when I read this right here and I think about it, you know, are we going to, if a homeless person asks us for bread, are we going to give him an empty bag that, you know, it has a tin foil in it, but it doesn't have nothing for the person to eat? So I believe when we're reading this scripture, I believe when it says, "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I think of that as, you know, instead of giving the person food, we give him something that's rotten or something that's not good for your body. So I think that, you know, we should have a heart for people, have a mind that, you know, had a mindset of doing to others as you want done to you. In Jesus' name. And I know that's verse 11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye into the strait at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there go in tread." In Jesus' name. Now, when I read that scripture, is, you know, I see, you know, we have a heart that is not godly. You know, we can't have a
might have lost Brother Joseph there. I don't know.
We've lost Brother Joseph. And,
he'll be in a second. He's doing a good job with us.
Yes. I'll pick up here where he left off, so he joins back in with us.
All right.
He left off here. He was talking about verse 11, so I'll pick back up with verse 12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Brother Joseph was talking about being judging not. We only have one judge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we don't know when people are doing wrong. It just means that we don't have the right or the authority to inflict punishment upon someone because they are doing something they shouldn't be doing. You see, we hate the sin, but we have to love the one that committed that sin because we are commanded to love all mankind. So therefore, the Lord is the one that will judge the sinner. And he is the one that will, for a better word, deal out the punishment to those that are in need of punishment. And only he has the authority to do that. We don't. But it does not mean, you know, we hear people say we can be saying something about something someone is doing they shouldn't be doing. They say, you're not supposed to judge. But it doesn't make me not know. Because if I didn't know what they were doing was wrong, then I would know not to do it, would I? If I see or know someone that is committing adultery, I hate that sin, but I don't hate that person. I have to love that person. I have to love that person and want to see that person turn their life around so they can make heaven their home. But if I didn't know that was wrong, I wouldn't know not to do it. So it doesn't blind us, but it just lets us keep everything in the right place, in the place it should be. And yes, I should treat everyone the way I want to be treated. We don't shun people because things are cut them down because of things they do. And we sure don't set out to cheat anyone because we wouldn't want to be cheated, would we? These next few verses gives us a pretty good reason why that we should pay attention and listen to what the Word says. In verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. You see, 13 tells us that straight, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And I think most of us, if we've lived any length of time at all, we've seen that highway. We know just how broad it is, how wide it is. But when we go to walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes narrow, doesn't it? It's narrow and it's straight. Because we have to live dedicated lives. Dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live that dedicated life to Him because we love Him. And we want to do what He wants us to do so we can be pleasing to Him. Because that is what will gain us eternal life. Just following Him. Now, we're back, and I think I'll bring Brother Joseph back in here, and I'm going to turn him back, turn things back over to him. Brother Joseph, welcome back with us. I just finished up here on 14, pick up there with 15, and go on with it.
Amen. You said 17?
15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. When we look at beware of false prophets which come to you, you know, everybody wants to be a prophet. Everybody, I'm a prophet of God, I'm this, of this, I'm that. A lot of people are want to be what they want to be, but they're really not chosen. Everybody wants to be, what is that saying? Everybody wants to be a chief. Too many Indians, and I'll leave that alone. But when we look at what the gospel is being taught, there are people who are saying, you know, you could be blessed if you give this offering, or, you know, then I have people who claim to be prophets, but they're not preaching the word of God. They're telling you to put a rabbit's tail and you know, and do this and dip it in water. That's, you know, that's witchcraft. That has nothing to do with Christ. God wants us to have not even a sound mind, but He also wants us to have an inside part, the inward. Our inward part needs to be filled with this book of life, this gospel. And a lot of pastors are wearing the, you know, they're standing in a pulpit, they have the right attire on, but their heart and the main message is not coming from the Lord. It's very deceiving. It's a lot of it has what does that say? And they're cults. A lot of them are cults. You have either lesbians or gays coming into the church preaching the gospel. That's not, God wants us to be clothed in His glory, clothed in His word inwardly. You know, and when we, a lot of the lost who don't know any different to the word of the Lord are being fed to the wolves. And they think they're getting the word from the Lord. They think they're growing and prospering in the Lord, but they're being taught by wolves, walking in sheep's clothing. And when we look at 16, when it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" When we are knowing that, you know, we're gonna get, you go to the grocery store, you don't get a fruit that is ripe. You're not gonna get anything that, you're not gonna buy a banana that's, you know, soft and, you know, dark. You want something that's yellow, and you know it's just been picked. You don't want nothing that's rotten, because then you'll get sick. So that's what the Lord is saying to us today, that He wants us to have a fruit of the Spirit in us to gather His presence, His word in our life, because this life is, I truly believe this life on earth is really supposed to be as on earth as it is in heaven, but being that you know we have pastors preaching a gospel that is a watered down gospel, and a lot of the churches that are filled with these mega churches are, you know, this is what the Lord is speaking about. And then I'm going to read from uh, 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. When we hear that into our ears and into our bosom, into our spirit, you know, the Lord is telling us that if we're going to do something, not do it for our own will, but not do it and think that we're pleasing God. God doesn't want us to please Him in a way that we're doing our will and then we're saying we're about God's business. God wants us to do His will, but He wants to lead us to it. And a lot of us are, and even our own ways, we're attempting to lead God and say, this is your will. Let me go and speak into this person's life. Let me go and pray, you know, heal this person. And a lot of times, I believe these people are being healed, but it's not from God, you know, because as we listened earlier, many will come. You know, it will come with a word of the gospel that's either watered down or is speaking of ungodly things that we are doing in the church today that God is not pleased of. So if God is not pleased of it, and we're saying that we're doing it in His will, He's gonna say to us, you know, you're not doing my will. Your works are not of me. I do not accept you. What you're doing is not going to get you into the kingdom. It's going to get you straight into damnation. And unless we, as humanity, repent and ask the Lord to forgive us, you know what we're doing now. We can repent. God will forgive us because we're in the New Testament. You know, we're not living in the Old Testament, but the Lord wants us to just repent of. And I wanted to put that in there because a lot of people say, you know, I live this life and I can't change, and God won't forgive me because I've done so much. I deceived so many people. I've manipulated them. I took their money. I allowed them to commit suicide. Yes, it's hard. It's heavy on your heart, but Ask the Lord to forgive you and let Him deal with you. Don't allow your mistakes, your wrongdoing to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. And I say, and then I'm reading from 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. And that's what I just spoke of, is that we're doing it with a wicked heart. You know, iniquity has nothing to do with righteousness. It has nothing to do with anything of good, but iniquity is our sin, is our lies, and it's wickedness. It's, you know, it's unpleasing to God. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I stop right here because the Lord wants us to be on solid ground, a rock. Everything that we build it on, we don't build houses on sand. He wants us to have anything in our lives, our relationships, our businesses, even our own health. He wants us to have something solid so that it cannot fall. It cannot descend back into the earth or onto where we're just struggling to get through. And 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Well, that's right there. She gets make you just say, I'm just going to do it the right way. Let's not cut around a corner. Let's not, you know, have one, you know, a couple of rocks here and just think that the house is going to be, you know, rocking on it while the wind is blowing, while, you know, the storms are coming, the heavy rains. Build it on a foundation where you are inside and at peace. And that's how we should be living. We should be having peace and that's how the Lord wants us, but he wants us to live in his peace. He wants us to be, in a spiritual sense, our rock is the Lord, you know. But I was speaking from a physical standpoint just now, but the Lord wants us to be spiritually leaning on him. He's our foundation. He is going to be what we can never expect. He is our everlasting. He is our protection. He's our healer. He's our psychologist. He's, if we're lonely, he's our lover to our soul. You know, and that's what we need to get back into. I think Christianity is been so blown out of proportion that, you know, if you're coming out of a bar, you know, they'll say, oh, don't talk to me that way, I'm a Christian. Or, you know, you just came out of church and you headed to the go-go club or whatever you're doing that's not right. God just wants us to have a relationship with us. He doesn't want you to walk with a religious spirit, because the spirit of religion is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. It's going to have you in a moment of darkness. And he doesn't want that for us. He wants us to each one teach one. That's why we need to get back into this Bible. Every church needs to get back into the calling of his people. His, you know, the real sheep stand up, and you know the ones who are walking with sheep's clothing, but their heart is as a wolf. We need to not only expose who they are, because a lot of people, we know who they are and we know what they're doing, but we're not praying about it. We're definitely not, you know, seeking the Lord in a way that he will supernaturally or have his way, remove them or, you know, remove their what they're doing. Jesus wants us to have a good life, a prosperous life, a life that no man or woman can give us, but he can do it if we just have faith in him. And I'm reading from 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he thought He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, when we read this and we say authority, what is our authority? Our authority is not knowing that we're going to be saved by our government, but know that our government is Jesus. It should be every day. Our Lord is Jesus. Our help is Jesus. Our authority. Everything that Jesus wants us to have is we have it with authority. And it has nothing to do with man, what color they are, what religion they are, how much education they have, because there's none wiser than our Creator, who created everything that we speak, everything that we do. He's our original Creator. So anything that someone says to you, and we say, "Oh, you did a good creation," no, give that back to the Lord and say, "I'm a recreation of my Creator, which is the Lord Jesus." And when we do that, that is uplifting him. And as we uplift his kingdom, he will uplift whatever we desire from him or seeking him. You know, because we can pray all we want behind closed doors, but when we uplift his name, that name Jesus, in public, in front of your friends who don't believe in Jesus, or, you know, atheists or the avatars or whoever they believe in, when we lift up that name of Jesus and they see that we're living in prosperity, when they see us not having cancer, when they see us when everybody's getting sick and we're still healthy, how are you staying healthy? I have a Lord. I have a Savior. I have a Redeemer. I have Jesus. And that right there, maybe that little word, that little testimony can save someone's life. Because what is it doing? Is giving somebody an opportunity to say, maybe I can try that. Because when we were in the world and doing other world, we said, this tastes good. This feels good. And then they try it and say, yeah, I agree with you. But now we're walking in a new relationship. And it's not of the world. We're talking about a spiritual redeemer. And Jesus wants us to relay that message. I can't pray or teach or do anything that someone else is anointed to do. I have to be what God is making me to be. And what we have to do is allow God to be in you what he wants you to be. We can't duplicate another. The anointing that is on certain people in the kingdom of that is on this earth, in their life, and in their business, we cannot duplicate it. We have to get our own anointing. We have to get our, and I truly, I don't want to go on too long, but anointing usually means that you went through something. You had every tear, you had everything broken in your life, and Jesus just lifted you up, because out of all what you was going through, like Job, he lost his whole family, he lost everything, but he never cursed God. He always said, my God is good, my God is great, he is my Jesus, he is my Savior. And when we do that, as our trials and tribulations, watch what Jesus is doing to your life and your relationship, whatever you're going through. And I would like to just say that by testimony. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you used me at this hour. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And Father God, I just pray as we're closing out that anyone, Father God, who has backslidden and did wrong unto your sight, Father God, and they are listening, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they can turn to you, that they don't have to walk with so much depression, obsession, the lust of this world, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will seek you, that your spirit will just touch their heart from committing suicide, from committing that murder, Father God. I pray that you will be a new light in their life, and for every backslider, Father God, I pray that you, Father God, will restore them, will put them back to where they started, where they left off, Father God. I pray that everyone who is looking for you in a new way, Jesus, I pray that this moment, Father God, that you will supernaturally give them the angels of ministering, Father God, that their hearts, Father God, will be at ease, at peace, and all the troubles in their life, Father God. I pray that you will do something special, uniquely, in a way that mankind cannot examine or predict, Father God. I pray, Father God, for every elderly person that their children have put them in a nursing home, Father God. I pray that you will lift them up, that they'll be able to preach the gospel again from their testimonies of what you did in their life. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You had a good message there, Joseph. Had a good message.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.